our Father. Thank you for making us brothers and sisters, buying our lives. Just pray and thank you for all that you do, all that you've done. Can't ask much more. You've already appropriated everything. Your goodness is all around. Thank you for a pastor that prays. Thank you for the food you're going to feed us this morning through him. May it give us strength and set us free. That one day when we look you eye to eye, you'll say to us, well done, good servant. Well done.
And you may be seated. Welcome once again to the church at Whistling Pines. My name is Sean McCracken. I'm the lead pastor here. Merry Christmas! So good to see you guys here this morning. And if you came in late, let me remind you, or tell you, if you came in late, remind those of you who are already here, if you weren't here for the announcements, that tomorrow night is our Christmas Eve service, and normally we would have it at Kedwell Park, but we have heard that it is supposed to be 80% chance of rain, and it's supposed to rain all day, so it's going to be wet and sloppy, so we have made the decision to change the location to here, the church at Whistling Pines. So if you could do us a favor, after church we're going to be updating Facebook. If you could share that, like it, share it, all of that kind of stuff on your Facebook page as well, to get the word out, and want to invite you to come. 6 o'clock, come a little bit early, and want to remind you also that it is an outreach, so we would love for you to love on people as they come in, and you get to see each other every Sunday and at Life Group and stuff like that, so really make it a point to meet people that you don't know. And again, if you've signed up to be a part of the outreach part of this, please stay a little bit after for a couple of minutes to meet with Bev, and she wants to go over a few things with you. Sound good? Awesome. Okay. Well, good deal. Kathy, why don't you come on up and take a seat? Give a hand for Kathy. We are in the midst of a new series. If you are new to our church, we want to welcome you. And we are normally a church that does expository teaching, which means we go verse by verse through a book. We are currently just about to finish the book of Matthew. We're taking a break for that, or through the book of Matthew, taking a break for the month of December. And we're doing a topical series, which is also a series where I am interviewing people. And we're talking about the names of Jesus. And it's called, Hello, My Name is Jesus. And so we like to wear name tags, and so we're kind of putting the proverbial name tag on Jesus and talking through the different names that Scripture gives to Jesus, and we are interviewing different people. And so we're continuing that series. And so this morning, we're interviewing, man, they really, really want us to be close this morning. Close, and all right, can everybody see Kathy? Oh, thank you. Come closer to the front. They want to really see us. See, they usually tell me, stop getting so close to the front, because they're afraid I'm going to fall off. Now they're telling us to get closer. All right. Well, Kathy Bronson, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Here's a microphone to do so.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, my name is Kathy Bronson. I've been with this church since it was joined between North Point and, what was the other name of the other church?
Hey.
Yeah.
Engaging Life.
Thank you.
I had to think for a minute.
I am married to a wonderful person named John Bronson, who's the other up there. I think we have all bald drummers in this place. And I am mother to three absolutely wonderful children. Carly, who I don't know if any of you have ever met. She lives in Missouri. Is married with two beautiful grandbabies, Liam and Macy, and I have to say Eddie, too. That's her husband. And then Nicholas, my wonderful 18-year-old. Yeah. And Alyssa, my wonderful 17-year-old. So, and I am...
What do you do for a living?
Oh, thank you. I work for the U.S. Forest Service. Have been doing that up on the Ocala National Forest for about, it's officially 30 years this year. And my title is GIS Specialist, which just means the data behind the stuff in Google Earth. If you've ever seen Google Earth.
Hey.
So I'm basically a data manager, but most people think I just make maps. So I'm pretty geeky, I guess, which is why they keep me on slides in the back.
She's very cool. Yeah. Very cool. So. Okay. She is also one of our life group leaders. She's an exceptional Bible teacher.
Well, I'm a leader, a facilitator, yes. The Precepts Life Group, I'm smiling because Cheryl's over there and Diane's over here, and I'm seeing who else is sitting around the room. And a short plug, oh, Michelle and Sybil.
Just calling you guys out.
Yeah, I am. We are going to, a short ad, we're going to start, Jeanette, oh, there you are.
Is there anybody else? Please stand up.
Esther. We're going to study Esther and then go back to the old prophets. So,
good.
I don't know. You'll get it on the slide. Not as early as I thought. Let's
check
put it
Google
that way.
Maps. That's right. Very good. Very good. Okay. So, as with all of the interviews, I gave each of them, and I gave Kathy a list of the names or titles, designations of Jesus in Scripture, and asked them to pick a favorite among those, which is a tall task, and she picked the Lord. Why did you pick the Lord?
Well, okay, true confessions time. I went through the list, and I was looking for one to just jump out, you know, oh, that's my favorite. And they were all nice names. And the only one that really had a strong emotional response from me was one I didn't like. So I've already failed the first assignment for this, and that was pick your favorite. And so whenever I feel strong negative emotions with something with Scripture, that's where usually God makes me go. And so I chose it because I figured I didn't understand it. And so thus began, I don't know when you asked me to do this, but it has been a really hard couple months studying this.
So just to reiterate, the one you didn't like.
The one I didn't like. So that's why I said I failed the assignment already.
Did you guys hear thunder?
Well, and I wanted to come up. Okay, I have to confess, I saw Bev out at, of all places, Paisley Transfer Station, which, if you don't know, that's where you take your trash. So Bev and I are having this very spiritual conversation while other people are dropping off their trash. It was a litter pickup day for the forest. And I said, and we were talking about this, and she said, well, what did you pick? And you know how she's happy about it. And I said, well, I picked the Lord. And she said, oh, I love that. And I said, well, I picked it because I don't like it. And I thought she was going to ask me, are you saved? And I thought, oh, what a nice reaction. So this whole time, I have been wanting to come up here and have him not know that, and me say that in front of everybody, and him go, oh, what have I, who have I invited up here, you know?
Could I have somebody else, please?
So, but God wouldn't let me do that, because I have been chewing, I call it chewing on it when I'm studying stuff. He made me get with Sean on Friday, and I'm very thankful that he made me do that, because in some ways you brought me some healing that I didn't expect to get, because what I realized was that words are triggers, and there are things that you have experienced growing up, I call it programming, that you've had bad situations happen to you, or people have come at you in a bad way, and this was a word that had that emotion tied to it, and it made me tense up and makes me extremely angry is somebody who comes at you and says, have you made Jesus Lord of your life? And it immediate feels condemning to me. And you, however, brought with this, he sent us a list of scriptures, and we were sitting there talking about this scripture button. And I'm glad we're all family. That's it. There, Acts 2:36 was one of the ones he sent me, and I kept this one. Just I was like, yeah, okay. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know that for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. And I kept getting hung up on crucified or all these different words, and what he pointed out was this part of it. God made him Lord and Christ. And I went, oh, you know, how many years have I been doing this? And still, God brings things out to me that I did not expect. And so God made him Lord. I'm not making him Lord of my life. God made him Lord. He's already there. Accept it and get over it. And so he brought me healing.
Praise the Lord.
And so thank you for that. I really appreciate that. So because that statement to me always meant I'm in this club and you're not. It was very exclusionary to me that, oh, I've made God Lord of my life. Why haven't you? And that's the feeling that I've always had from that question. And I'm sure the people who've asked me that meant it the right way. But that didn't mean I received it that way. And so now I can hear it, and I have a little bit more peace. A little bit more.
Yeah.
So
now knowing that, what is Lord to you?
Yeah. Well, the word Lord, being a good precept student that I am, you always start with observation, and you go and you look up what it means. And it was not what I thought. And because all in the Old Testament, it means God. But when you go to the New Testament, it's the word Kyrios. And it means owner. It means master. It's a title, and in a lot of cases, it's a title of respect. You know, Pastor Sean, Dr. So-and-so. And so I had never picked up on this before, you know. That pretty much through entire New Testament, it's Kyrios, and it just means sir, teacher. You know, I respect you. And then it's not until pretty much Peter makes his declaration, or really Thomas, after he's seen the resurrection Christ, he goes, my Lord and my God. And that's when they say it really started to change meaning for the people, and it became to represent Jesus was also God, but he was also Lord. And so what actually came to mind had nothing to do with any of those, though. It was the story of the centurion. And he hears this Roman soldier who, well, but the centurion said, Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it. Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, truly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. And he understood authority. He understood this idea of master or owner, and that people would just respond when he said the word. And I don't know that I liked that idea. It's like giving over your freedom. We're Americans, you know? Right. Freedom is like, yep. We rock and roll with that. Yep. But it was something that here's a Roman soldier who understood what Jesus could do and was calling him Lord. So I was like, well, did he think that Jesus was God? Not at this point, according to the people that I've read. And that kind of, you know, I was like, do I really want a master? You know, that has negative connotations in our cultures. We don't want to be slaves. And so that's, yeah, I wasn't sure that I liked the term Lord, to be honest.
With the centurion, Jesus was so amazed with his faith because he said, you just say the word, because he understood his authority. And he said, Lord. He understood lordship more than his disciples probably at the time, even though they walked with him, because they understood his authority.
Yeah.
The centurion understood his authority probably more than his disciples did.
Yeah, and that was something, you know, how many of us grew up in a kingdom, you know? Do we have lords around us? We rejected that, however many, 250 years ago or whatever it was. No, we haven't hit 250 yet, have we? No.
We're close?
Okay. And so, you know, it made me think of the Queen of England. You know, if I went into England and I got the chance to see the Queen, I would be expected to curtsy and to say, Your Majesty, and all that stuff. And I would do it out of respect. But she wasn't my queen, you know? And so I think that's kind of the problem that I have with Lord, is that, well, what does it really mean to say Lord? You know, the scripture says he's the King of Kings and Lords of Lords. And it's like, well, why did you use both? I understand what a king is, but what does a Lord, you know? And really, that the Lord was in charge of the house. He was making sure things got done, in charge, telling the servants what to do, as compared to the king, who I guess got to sit around and rock or whatever he wanted to do on his throne.
Right. In human terms, right. But in biblical terms, especially as you said, it kind of morphed into it. It becomes synonymous, king and lord.
Well, yeah, but that they are synonymous now, but I think they're, because they use two different things, it's like there's a purpose.
Right.
There was a purpose to say, if God said he was only king, then he would have just said he's King of Kings. But now I'm like, well, then there's a
king
richer
kings
meaning.
And Lord of Lords.
And Lord of Lords. There's more meaning to it, is what I'm trying to say.
Correct,
is,
I agree.
So
I kind of take it almost like King of Kings is like the noun and Lord of Lords is like the verb.
Hmm, hadn't thought of that. Okay. I like it.
You guys can have that for free. So a lot of people think that they've made Jesus Lord, but what does Jesus say?
Well, he kind of addressed that, you know, that it's real easy to say the word Lord out of respect and being respectful, and I think, but he said, thank you. I don't have them all memorized, I'm sorry. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. And I looked up that word new, and it's the same word that we'll be using a little bit later. And one of the other things other than know, Gnosko, is to understand. And there's a lot of people who'll say that Jesus is Lord, but they don't know him, or he doesn't know them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a hard thing sometimes, because in the name of Christ, they can do these many wonderful things that you think are of Christ, and then you realize, no, they don't know him, because there should be a change within them. And so, thank you. Another one is, how do you know him? We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. That's that same word, gnosko, there.
Yep.
And the reality is you show that you love Jesus by keeping his commands. And actually, I think that comes next, doesn't it? Yeah, thank you. In John 14:15, he says, if you love me, keep my commands. And what one of the things that I guess I have a strong reaction to people who want to make Christianity a social club.
Yep.
And a I'm in and you're out kind of attitude, and I really react to that.
And that's why you reacted to the Lord.
Yeah, it is. And I'm probably guilty of it. And I don't mean to do that. It's just I've felt like God is so inclusive that how could we ever, you know, keep anyone out? It's like, no, 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 it's not up to me for them. They choose whether they want God or not. I don't, and my role is to love them. And honestly, when I've seen this one, if you love me, keep my commands, my emphasis has been on keep my commands. I'm a very much a perfectionist. If the rule's there, I'm not that much of a rule keeper. If
just looking at your kids.
The kids, yeah, well, let's not ask them. But my emphasis is always on keep my commands, and I miss that if you love me. And yeah. I suddenly realized, well, no, God probably brought it to the forefront. In programming, there's a thing called an if-then statement. If this is true, then this happens.
Yeah.
If you don't love God, you're not going to be able to keep the commandments.
That's right.
Our emphasis should be on if you love me.
Yep.
And the reality is, if you don't know him, you're not going to be able to love him.
Yep.
And if you don't know him or love him, you're not. There's no way you can keep the commandments. You think they're silly. You don't even have the power to do it. And yet we get so focused on that. I have to obey this. And there are some people so burdened down with that's what the Christian life is. I just have to do this. I have to do this. I have to do that. Or I have to be good or whatever. And what we should be working on is knowing God so that you can love him.
Yep. Amen.
And so that's, you know, this came around to how can you make him Lord if you don't know him? And if you don't know him, you can't love him. And so why would you choose a Lord like this? You know, there's all these words, slave, and you're a slave to God. And that was one of the scriptures you gave me, and I was like, oh, I don't like that one. It had sin and slave and all these other yucky words. And I now, when I look at that scripture, it was Romans 6, 22 and 23. It was, now I'm seeing freedom.
Yeah.
Now I'm seeing that, you know, we have been set free.
That's right.
And
and he says we're a slave to something.
Yeah, you're either a slave to God, or you're a slave to this world and Satan and sin and all these other things. And, why don't you go on to the next one?
Okay, I will.
Unless you have something in between.
No, it's good.
Okay.
This is good stuff, Kathy.
Okay.
Okay.
Then give the glory to God. That's it.
So this begs the question that Jesus got was, then what is the greatest commandment? I mean, so do you just keep going through the Ten Commandments? Do you keep going through the law? The Pharisees just added more laws. I mean,
oh yeah.
The book of Leviticus wasn't enough for them, evidently. They wanted to add even more laws. And so they asked Jesus what was the greatest commandment. So what did he say?
Well, and I love this scripture now. It's this was a scribe who had heard Jesus kind of debating with the Pharisees, who were the religious of the time. And he said, and he came to them and he asked them, he said, well, what is the foremost commandment? And Jesus answered, the foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And the scribe comes back at him and says, you are right, teacher. I was like, how many people said that to Jesus? Oh, yeah, I agree with you. You have truly stated that he is one, and there is no one else besides him, and to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding, see, understanding there, came back in, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as himself is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he had answered intelligently, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. When we first started doing this, I struggled with how to present it. My brain was going all different ways, and one of the things I came up with was, called it a word cluster.
Yeah, word cluster.
And one of the things that kept coming up was this kingdom of God. And I was like, okay, I've heard of it. What is it? You know? That he said this to this scribe just really kind of hit me like, wow. How cool is that? Here was a guy who was immersed in the law of the time. And he understood that God didn't want sacrifice. He didn't want offerings. He wanted them to love him. And Jesus realized it. He said, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And you said something to me. It's like, well, how does he get in? And I realized he couldn't get in yet because Jesus hadn't died yet. The kingdom of God was not available to him yet. Even though he had all these scriptures and he had this knowledge, he couldn't come in until Jesus died and paid the penalty for sin.
For his skin.
And then raised up from the dead. And I went, wow, but he was there. He understood something that all those other ones didn't. And so I thought I was happy for this guy. I think that was so cool that he had gotten close to the heart of God right there, just like David did, just like Abraham, who was called a friend of God.
I also wonder, though, if he says you answered intelligently, I wonder if he was saying, are you going to turn? In other words,
until this, he could have.
Yeah, you know, are you just answering intelligently? Are you answering because you know the words? You know the right answer.
Well, and it doesn't give it to us, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, and that's the, you have to go back to Lord, Lord.
Yep.
You know, I didn't know you.
Yep.
And it really comes back to relationship. But this guy is close. He is really
close.
And so I'm proud of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I was really
glad
of that.
You wanted to talk some more about the kingdom of God?
Oh, yeah, that. thank you. Like I said, I was interested in this kingdom of God, and this is a scripture, Romans 14:17, righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what the kingdom is for us. That's what we're in.
It's a good song, too.
It is?
It is, yeah.
Oh, okay. See, that... I just sit back there and hit buttons. Yeah. I don't always get to listen to the songs. But it was like, this is what Jesus came preaching.
Yeah.
Is the kingdom of God is here. And he said, it's near, it's here. And you go, really? That's what he was preaching? The kingdom of God? I'm like, how many years have I been here? And I'm still amazed that God can bring stuff out that I know, but I don't know. And so, yeah, Jesus himself said, I'm here to preach the kingdom of God.
Yep.
And that really brought the Old Testament and the New Testament together for me. The kingdom of God is what the prophets were there to bring them back into, and here Jesus is, and he was the only one who could bring us into the kingdom. And that's what we're celebrating. We're celebrating that we have the opportunity to come into that kingdom, a kingdom of righteousness and peace and joy.
Amen.
That is huge. And it's not what I always thought it would be.
That's
I am still learning what righteousness and peace and joy are.
I hope we all are. Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
It's not what the world tells us. It's not at all.
I think if we leave it off at even just the cross, or even leave it at the resurrection, we've missed it.
Yeah.
And if we haven't obtained his resurrection life and move on to we have obtained the kingdom of God, his righteousness, his peace, we've missed it.
Yeah.
And then it grows every day.
And it grows.
Until we receive the kingdom, until we walk in to the everlasting kingdom of God.
I had to share with Sean because there's this one parable of the mustard seed that I've read. We've all read it. And it was just 2 weeks ago that it finally went, ta-da! And it was this little seed that's planted in your life, and it grows. And I thought, that's what's happened with me. I would have never been able to do this years ago. And I wouldn't have had anything to say if this had been years ago. Hmm. And but slowly and surely, God has grown that seed within my life where now it's like huge. And I'm like, wow, when did I get to be this way?
Yeah.
You don't even realize it.
That's right.
So, did I have more?
One more.
Oh, one more. Okay. And that's the Lord of the kingdom that we're in. It's not about slavery that we have in our minds, which is where my mind goes. I had pictures of slaves with chains because I was like, this is where this takes me. And I was like, no, I have to get over what this world calls a Lord. I have to see it from God's perspective. I have to understand this kingdom that we are in now and not look at what we have tried to make it, what a good king is or whatever. I have to understand this Lord that he has given us. We don't have a choice. And understand who he is now.
Yeah. I think what you had a problem with, have you made Jesus Lord kind of being exclusionary and mm-hmm. kind of almost a, like when we talked on Friday, I grew up in a Pentecostal church, and you run across this as well. Have you spoken in tongues? And if you haven't, then you're either not saved, that's the far right, or even you're not as good as somebody who cannot speak in tongues. And I speak in tongues, and I believe that it's available as far as a prayer language to everyone. It's not available to everyone as far as a spiritual language for the congregation. But regardless, I do not believe that if you cannot speak in tongues, you're not as good as someone else. And so, similarly, that's the problem you had with lordship. But this scripture, Acts 2:36, that God has made him both Lord and Christ, whom you have crucified, that Peter tells to the congregation. Oops. Okay, now it's all mixed up, so I'm going to ask you questions out of order. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
Knowing that God has made him that, we have to realize that if we say, well, there's some Christians that he's just Savior, and then there's this other layer that there's other Christians that he's also now Lord, and there's just different Christians, I'm of the opinion that, no, that's almost like making another idol. That's making God into another image, that this God, this Jesus that is just Savior and not Lord, that's not the Jesus of Scripture. And so therefore, this person doesn't know Jesus because he's not just Savior, he's Savior and Lord, because that's what God made him. That's what God, that is God. And that's not to say that we don't grow in our relationship, like you said, the mustard seed. We grow in our relationship. We grow in allowing him to grow fruit in our lives, which you're about to speak about. But we can't make him Lord. He is Lord. We grow into allowing him to have lordship into our lives, certainly, but we don't make him Lord. God makes him Lord. And so now knowing that and now coming into terms with that, and we all come to terms with that more and more as we grow in our knowledge of him, how would you answer that question now? Is Jesus Lord of your life?
I think now it all depends on that tone of voice that they come at you with.
Okay,
you
hold know? On. Is Jesus Lord of your life? How's that?
I would say take a look at my life. I would say is Jesus said in this scripture, Matthew 21:43, this is the parable of the landlord or the landowner who has built a vineyard. He's put a wall around it, and he sent servants to gather the harvest. And so the people who are living there have killed them, have thrown them out, and the last person that he sends to get the harvest is the son. And they kill the son, thinking that we will get the vineyard now that this landowner's. And he asks the scribes, and he says, what's going to happen to the people who are in that vineyard? And they give him, oh, they're going to be thrown out, they're going to be killed, whatever. And he comes back with them, therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you, the Pharisees and the scribes, and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Because he doesn't want us to just say, Lord, Lord. He right. wants us to see it lived out. He wants people to see Jesus in our lives. And so that statement there at the end, who will produce its fruit, made me think of, in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit. You know, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I always get lost somewhere in there. And I'd have to ask them, getting back to your question, do you see these things in my life? Do you see me loving people who are unlovable? Do you see me having a peace in the midst of the storm? Do you see me having patience in the long lines? Do you see me acting in kindness or gentleness? And if not that I'm perfect, right. but if you are seeing that come out of me, then that's only because the Holy Spirit is at work within me.
Sure.
And then I could say, well, then, yeah, that you tell me whether I'm living as Jesus is Lord.
That's good. So is he Lord of your life? Does he have authority of your life? And does he have authority? It should show in the fruit of your life.
And it should be, they should, well, how often do we really get to know people?
Yeah.
You know, there's some people, you know, who act like a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But do we let people in far enough that they can see us growing?
Yeah.
And that they can say of your heart. You know, there are a lot of people I know who I know their heart, and they are wonderful people. I can't say they're always producing the fruit, but I know there's a seed there.
Yeah.
I know there's something there that God will bring about, and that's that patience.
Yep.
You know, gentleness, self-control.
Do you have the fruit of the Spirit on a Tuesday, not just on Sunday morning?
Yep, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so last question. You wanted to end with this scripture. Why did you want to end with this scripture? Matthew 11:28-30. Go ahead and read it and then tell us why.
Okay,
you want to end
thank
with
you.
It.
That's how you're supposed to do this. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the Lord we serve.
That's right.
This is the gentle spirit of the man, the God that we serve, who takes these burdens of sin, and regret and anger and hurt from that you hide deep inside of you. And he wants to replace it with something that is so life-giving and changing that That's you right. can go out and actually pour out into other people's lives, where it's not just about you anymore.
Yeah.
And it is, we make it about following rules, and it's really coming to a person. And we have to understand who that person is, who is calling us. And if that's the master that is calling me, then that's a master I can serve. That Amen. That's a Lord that I can go to and I can say, yeah. You know, that in the garden, that Adam and Eve made a choice, and they chose that they wanted to be like God. And what they really lost for us was that relationship with God, that being able to be with God whenever they really wanted. And that's what Jesus brought back for us.
Amen.
And that being able to be in this absolute glorious presence. And that's part of it. And that, to me, is who Jesus is. And it's taken me all this time, and I would say, really? I keep picking up my burdens.
Yep, yep.
And yet, this is what he promises me. And so I'm still on that journey. And it's often hard. But it's, I'm glad he's Lord.
That's good. Going back to the centurion quickly.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I think was so amazing to Jesus, that why he was so awed by the centurion's faith, was because he understood his authority, and it was that he knew that Jesus didn't even have to come, that he just had to say the word. And part of that is what you had to say about you keep picking up your burden. He knew that the centurion had this burden, that he wanted his loved one to be healed, and that Jesus just had to say the word, that he didn't even have to take the loved one to Jesus, or even Jesus had to come, the burden was left as soon as Jesus knew about it. And that's lordship. As soon as Jesus knows about it, that's the authority that Jesus has.
And what I also thought about is that centurion was like Jesus. He had full authority over this servant.
Yep.
And he was approaching and asking for healing for his servant. That's what Jesus does for us. He's up there praying for us right now. And he is bringing us.
Yeah.
Just like that centurion. I think there was a lot more between that centurion and Jesus than I've ever realized before.
Yeah.
And that's what's, I have to admit, I think I caused a few gray hairs for Sean, because he has everything planned out. God doesn't let me do that. And so he was really wanting, can I put the PowerPoint together? Can I put the PowerPoint together? He had it together and all the scriptures he said. And yesterday I spent hours going through this thing and threw new scriptures at him. And finally I said, it's done. And I was like, so sorry. And it was, you know, the day before. And you handled it well. You handled it well. But I think it was an amazing journey for me to study this and go from one place to another. And that's what's so awesome about our God is he lets you ask the hard questions. He wants them.
Amen.
And he will take you from one place to another. It might take years, it has for me, where something you didn't like, and it's like, it's okay, you don't have to like it. But he'll take you from there to a new place. And it's just an awesome, awesome journey. And there's nothing that I have seen in this world that can compare with it.
Amen.
Nothing.
It's good. It's good. Amen. Could have the worship team come up. Can you guys stand? Oh, you are supposed to be working.
Yeah, I'm supposed to work here.
You'll have time.
Yeah, thank you. Father God, you are Lord.
Yes, you are.
You are a Lord. Glorious Lord, and you are King, and you are amazing. Yes, you are. Father God, we ask, we bring our hearts before you this Christmas season, that what is of you, you will help us to keep, and what was not of you, that you just let it go. That you would be glorified, that we may go out of here with rejoicing and return to our lives and bring you wherever we go. This is the season that is so delightful to celebrate, and you are the greatest gift that we have. So let us share it. Let us go out and bring you praise wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Kathy. As we worship together to end the service, we'd like to open up the altar for anyone who would like to make Jesus Lord. Whether you have in the past and you just want to redeclare that to him, remember, God has made him Lord, but if you're saying to him, I want to get out of the way. I want to stop making myself Lord. I want to declare and reaffirm that you are Lord. If you would like to do that, or if this is your first time, you've never been a Christian before, we want to have an opportunity to pray with you. There's people here, Brenda and Rob and others, who would love to pray with you. If you have sickness in body or anything you'd like to have prayer for, we'd love to pray with you. Let's worship together.